Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Monday, November 2nd, 2015. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
Well, it's good to know you set your clocks back. You made it.
Well, actually, I had nothing to do with it. That was a courtesy provided by Microsoft, and whoever operates really is operating my computer.
I know. Well, we have certainly become lazy, have we not? They even set our clocks for us.
I don't know why they even bother telling us that the time is changing. They just automatically change on the computer, and we just go along with it, whatever it is. The computer says it; it must be true.
It must be true.
Yep.
Well, it is true for gold today. We're down $7 for gold at $11.35. Silver's down 12 cents, $15.52. Had a nice recovery, though, silver did. We had a low of $15.18. Platinum was down 7 at $982. And palladium down big, almost 4%, $26 at $653. The USDX today, it was down most of the day. We're looking, I'm showing not a lot of change. 96.92 on the dollar. Crude oil today is down 0.48 at 46.11. And the paper markets today, I would expect them to be strong. And let's see if I am correct. Yes, I am. 165. To the upside on the Dow at 17,825. The NASDAQ was up 73 at 51.27. The S&P was also up 24 at 21.05. Let's see, Euro, just not much change, 110. Your Asian markets were down bigger than the European markets overnight, so that's it in a nutshell, Al.
Well, I'll tell you what a judge told me one time. If the shell fits, wear it. And he was a speaker at one of our groups, and I said something, well, that's it, the nutshell, or I don't remember what I said, but I said, and the judge, he was a speaker, he said, well, if the shell fits, wear it. And he had a big laugh out of that, and so did the audience, and I couldn't think of a single thing to say.
No. So let's move on.
I will say this, though.
What's that?
The markets, the paper markets have been on a tear for the last month.
Oh, they have. Well, they've almost recouped all their losses.
Well, I understand. I think they're up something like 1,500 points. Dow is up 1,500 points during the last month or so.
Yep.
Do you have any pet theory as to explain what's happening?
They've been able to push everything under the rug. And I thought the big deal was going to be the debt, the discussions of the budget, the discussion of the debt ceiling, and we saw what happened to that. In the wee hours of the morning, everybody signs the agreement, pats themselves on the back, and they were able to get, or they think, that they now have 2 years. So it's just like...
They have 2 years before they have to deal with it in
Congress. That's my point. Yes.
Yeah. They don't have 2 years necessarily of free sailing in terms of the debt. And
no, I think any can.
But they have 2 years before they have to face up to it again.
Right. And, you know, it's after all the elections. And and again, you know, all their, you know, everybody's beating their, you know, estimates and so forth, except for a few. And it's going into the holidays. I'm already seeing that you have, you know, everybody's looking forward to the Black Thursday or Friday or whatever it is, and it's there's nothing bad going on, so it's part of the illusion they've been able to create. You know, we talked about multinational corporations. You know, they go out and they borrow money and they buy back their shares. You know, it makes their stock stronger. So
appear stronger. It makes their stock appear stronger.
Well, for those making the money on it, it is stronger. So, yeah. You know, certainly not the strength of the corporation. I get that, or even the management, although you have to say the management must be a little bit on the clever side in order to buy back their own shares. But everything is against the truth that we hear and we talk about.
Yep.
Because it's all measured. Just the stock market. You know, and you talked about we don't have a country anymore. We have an economy. I see. Yeah. We don't have an economy anymore. We have a stock market.
Well, you can make that analogy, you know, that metaphor, whatever. And there's, you know, a certain amount of truth in it. We are led to believe we have that stock market. But, you know, one of the things about it is that most of the people who were in the stock market coming into 2007, 2008, most of the ordinary people, they were burned so bad, they bailed, and they aren't coming. They have not yet come back. The stock market right now is mostly institutions, corporations, government, all right? And they are maintaining an illusion to convince us that something good is happening for the people in government, something good is happening for the corporations and whatever. But it's insofar as they're the ones that are keeping the books, it's like going to a casino in Las Vegas where the only bettors are members of the casino. They seem to be awfully successful. You know, they're winning a lot of their bets in their own casino, but you can't help but wonder if the casino's not rigged. You know, they're not going to let you play in that. Well, I won't say they won't let you play in that casino, but it's not a level playing field anymore. You get the computers are so predominant in the markets. It's very difficult for some individual to sit back and on his own make reasonably reliable predictions about what's going on with individual stocks and so on, and say, well, I'm going to invest in this one. I'm going to invest. The computers are moving things backwards, forwards, up and down, and for reasons that are not clearly even understood by the general public. The whole thing becomes prohibitive, and ordinary investor can't expect to do well enough to profit in the current stock markets. Some people will, but majority will not. They're just going to be outsmarted by the computers and the professionals and whatever rigging is going on, influence is taking place, and you can't keep up as an individual. And that being the case, we can begin to wonder whether the Dow Jones really is an indicator of what's going on in this economy. Is it really a reliable indicator? as to whether the economy is running hot, cold, or someplace in between. I mean, the American people are not really in that market to a significant degree.
It's a psychology, Al.
Well,
it keeps the public opinion. Keeps the public opinion and keeps all of them in their little happy place.
Yeah,
and you know, unfortunately, a lot of those who do work, a lot of those who do have pension plans and retirement plans and 401s, they're the ones that will get hurt by all of this. Because I guarantee you, Mr. Obama will not be leaving office until those accounts are readdressed. I mean, what part of the what program has he not messed up and changed? And they certainly will not allow those trillions of dollars sitting there to happily go to the people who own that money. And not when you're talking about Social Security. And now what's even interesting is they're actually talking about that the Social Security is broke, that there's IOUs in there. And So this is all conditioning of the people. It's all conditioning to get people over the big hurdle that they're just now realizing that there's no money in there, and you know, maybe they won't be getting any more money in the future from this account, but perhaps there will be a way to address it. You know, there's all these other plans out there that, well, you know what, maybe the government can manage it better than the people, and maybe we can do some sort of an annuity. We're going to change it. We're here to help you.
Oh, yeah.
And,
government's here to help you. We're here to help you with your money, especially.
And that is exactly
you
what
have
is
any
going
money,
to happen.
How heavy is your wallet? Allow me to carry your wallet. Allow me to assist. That's what government is essentially doing. They are volunteering to help carry your wallet, or maybe your checkbook, too. Maybe even your safety deposit box. And, you got an overseas account? Yeah, they definitely want to help carry that one.
So it is coming, and they will address it. They will change the laws. They will regulate it, and people really won't. They've had shocks. I mean, the 2008-09 when the Dow went down to 6,000, people were shocked, and now they brought it back. And they brought it back from the dead, basically. And now people will be very, you know, they start seeing that stock market go down. They're just being conditioned, and they don't even know it. But anyway.
Well, I agree. I got an article here from the Associated Press, excuse me, talking about this Russian metro jet that crashed in Egypt. And the headline is, Metro Jet Exec says external impact caused Egyptian plane crash. Only an external impact could have caused a Russian plane to dive into the Egyptian desert, killing all 224 people on board, its Russian operator said Monday, adding to the series of confusing statements from investigators that left unclear why the plane broke up in mid-flight. In Washington, James Clapper, the U.S. Director of National Intelligence, said that while there is no direct evidence of any terrorist involvement yet, it couldn't be excluded that the plane was brought down by Islamic State extremists in Sinai. In fact, the Islamic State, ISIS, ISIL, whatever name they go by, they have claimed responsibility for bringing this jet plane down, causing it to crash. Whether they really did or they're just trying to claim credit for something they had nothing to do with, that remains to be seen, but they have at least claimed credit for bringing a Russian jet down in the Sinai. And I look at that, and I don't know what's going to happen, and I don't know that we're going to find out. I mean, we'll be able to determine. They'll be able to tell whether this airplane was brought down by some sort of an explosive device or some missile or whatever. They'll be able to figure this out if they care to. They'll find shrapnel and debris and holes in the fuselage and whatever. They can figure it out if they have to. But who, if there was a missile, who fired it? All right? There's a question. ISIS takes credit for it. Did they really fire it? Is it a false flag operation? Who really did this? It'll be very difficult to figure this out. But if ISIS is truly responsible, you got to ask yourself if ISIS has some sort of a death wish. Because the Russians have just stepped into Syria and bombed the poo out of a bunch of these people that are working with the Islamic State and set them back dramatically. And now they've knocked down a Russian jet carrying 224 people. I think that will only make Russia that much more angry. And they'll say, all right, USOBs, we're going to fix you now. We're going to fix you good. You got 224 people in one of our transports. Guess what? You're going to lose 10 times that many Islamic State personnel on the ground. I don't know what Russia's going to do, but it just strikes me this was ill-advised. If ISIS did this, they claim to have done it. If they really did, this was very ill-advised, in my opinion. They may be saying, look, we're going to show Russia we're not afraid of you. That may be their intent, but this is, you are poking a bear. You understand?
Who would have
as much? Be very fast or a very good or very strong, because you do not want to mess with the bear, because the bear won't fool around.
Who has the most to gain from initiating the, by saying that ISIS was the one who did it, for them taking claim? Who was the most to gain from that?
Well, it may be some foolish member of ISIS thought, we can take credit for this.
No, that's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying.
I know. There are a couple. There's alternatives. Who has the most to gain?
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't the U.S. have the most to gain?
I don't see
if ISIS claimed it, and like what you said, Russia would certainly respond accordingly.
Matt, somebody's head is going to roll, and probably a couple dozen heads.
So who would be the most to gain? It would be the U.S., wouldn't it?
I don't know about that, because one of the things that's going to happen is this would galvanize, presumably, this is going to make Russia mad. Up until now, they've just been, they just got into this. But now it's personal. This is going to change, potentially change their enthusiasm for killing ISIS members. And
quickly,
their ability to kill those ISIS members has been an embarrassment to the United States government. All of a sudden, they're in there, and there's just a couple of weeks, they're making real headway while we're, what to do? Obama can't make up his mind what color to paint the bombs, We've got, can't be sending red bombs, not green bombs, blue bombs, maybe blue. What color? He's diddling around and fussing at trivialities, and the Russians are just saying, we're going to kill these people. Now they're going to kill a lot of these people, and I'm guessing that would tend to embarrass the government of the United States even further. So who knows? It may be that this thing went down. It may be Saudi Arabia.
Well,
who said we can drop this thing, make ISIS take claim credit for it, and the Russians will kill more members of ISIS?
Well, Frank, the producer, sent something over, and he said just last week, D.C. said to Russia that because of their attacks on ISIS, they will get terrorist attacks. Here it is.
I can't say Russia's surprised by that necessarily, but just, the flip side is somebody better send... They ought to send a message to ISIS that because of terrorist attacks on Russia, you're going to get bombed big time. All right. So who knows how it's all going to shape up? I don't know. But it's an interesting story, in part because it's still a mystery. What happened? Who is responsible? We'll find out. We'll get more information over the next days and weeks. Let's take a break for some commercial announcements. Melody and I will be back on Financial Survival in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adask here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
Well, I want to remind the listeners we got a great little package going today, and prices did fall back. I have an AU $5 Liberty gold piece, an AU $5 Liberty gold piece. It's a great little fractional piece. For those of you who are looking to diversify into some smaller coins, and $25 face value, 90% quarters. This includes all your shipping costs for $700. 1-800-375-4188. And I will go over this once again. Al, remind me before the end of the program of this special today. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com, and make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. And you can listen to the program from the website and also the archives.
Do you have any idea what the legal limit may be on the number of times you can say "and" in the same commercial?
I don't know, Al.
We're going to have to look into that.
But let's go ahead.
I don't know if there is a legal limit at this time, but I think they're working on it.
Well, perhaps there's probably some legal limits on some other things, too, that I could probably...
I'm not very much impressed by their legal limits. I was just curious.
But, you know, oftentimes I hear things, too, that are said repeatedly. But anyway, let's get to...
Frank the producer, is that what
you're
talking
about? Not hardly, but anyway.
What else could it possibly be?
I wouldn't know, Al. Anyway, let's get to the emails today. We have one coming in about Russia. And I want to remind folks, too, that you could send us any questions at the website at questions@dgscoins.com, questions@dgscoins.com. Any questions for the program would be great. And, of course, you can always call in, too, if you have a question. And that call-in number is 1-800-932-1980. That's 1-800-932-1980. And we don't mention it very often, but we do like callers, and we do appreciate those that do call. This is in from a listener. He says, note to Al, he says, Russia is not the Soviet Union. It is a second-rate power with an economy smaller than Italy's. Russia estimates their damage to ISIS are big on bragging and low on truth. ISIS is a tough force. A second-rate nation like Russia won't take it out, and the headway isn't much. Putin is Mussolini version 2.0. And we talked a little bit about this on the break, and go ahead.
Well, just I disagree that Putin is Mussolini 2. Right? Mussolini was a big braggart and the rest of that sort of thing. I get the impression, my impression of Putin is he's for real. It doesn't mean that he has unlimited power, but he does. He is willing to exercise the power that he has. He's not just BSing his way through it. He's not just trying to create illusions. That's my reading of Putin. We'll watch and see. I mean, what happens to ISIS as a result of this apparent attack on the metro jet in Egypt? What happens to them? Will to some degree, it'll be a measure of whether Putin is for real or not. It'll be a measure of just how strong are the Russian military. Can we yank their tail? Is it true that we can get away with poking the Russian bear? I'm not convinced that's true. To call Russia a second-rate power, I don't think that's accurate either. I don't think that's a fair characterization. I don't know the size of their economy per se, but I'm sure they're in the top 10, the world's top 10. Plus, they have significant military capability. They have lots, a considerable number of intercontinental ballistic missiles. They have a considerable number of nuclear weapons. They are not to be taken lightly. The Italians, I don't know, you know, I mean, whoever paid real attention to the Italians have not been a significant fighting force since the fall of the Roman Empire. They never did seem to recover to a significant degree. They're there, but...
Well, he's just talking about the economy.
I get that. Well, he's talking about the economy, but he's also comparing to Mussolini. Mussolini was leading a different kind of army. It wasn't the Roman gladiators. It wasn't the same kind of army and military that I assume Putin is leading and controlling, commanding. So it's going to be interesting. In fact, everyone who gets, and when we talk about second-rate powers, you know, we're going to find out who really has enough money to keep playing this game in the Middle East. And it's not absolutely clear that the United States has enough money to keep playing this game in the Middle East. They may not have, you know, we have wasted so much in Iraq and Afghanistan. Do we have enough left for another go at ISIS? Or have we exhausted our resources? You know, we can build them back up. It doesn't mean that they're exhausted forever. But there are articles in the paper that indicate, you know, you'll see them on the internet. How accurate they are remains to be seen. But they'll tell you that the military is short on morale. Equipment is depreciated compared to what we would hope for ideally. We have to think in terms of fighting one major war, where previously we used to think in terms of fighting two at the same time. Now we're thinking in terms of only fighting one at the, you know, one major war and maybe a couple of skirmishes on the side. We are also being debilitated by the costs of invading country after country after country. The idea of playing global policeman, this is not a free lunch. It's not cause for celebration. It's diminishing our military. it's costing us a lot of money. And I don't know how much good we're getting back for it. I'm sure some people would argue we're getting a lot, even though we're not fighting in some countries. We have military stationed there. We wind up getting some sort of cooperation out of their governments. I don't know. Is the game worth the candle? And we're going to find, you know, these little events like Metrojet goes down in Egypt. All right, we're going to find out. What will Russia do? I'm guessing they're going to slap ISIS around with a great deal more enthusiasm than they have in the past. I'm seeing that as a possibility, but what if I'm wrong? Does that indicate Russia is a paper tiger? I'll believe it when I see it, but I won't believe it until then, so blah, blah, blah. What do you think, Maldy?
Well, I think it's real difficult in today's world to really weed through between what's propaganda and as we look for truth. But George Soros, he's one of the elite, and particularly when you have a world that's going towards a new world order, it's not new anymore, it's to a world order, to this globalization connection. George Soros talked about how pushing Putin into a corner, he will save face and he will react for his country, and the country will expect him to.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't underestimate Putin, and they might not be the power as they once were, but again,
I'm not even sure when the email that comes in and the author says that Russia is not the former Soviet Union.
Putin is, though.
Well, what I'm getting to, it's not necessarily a disability. You know, when you try to put all of those diverse nations together and juggle all those balls at the same time, you're so busy because with the diversity that you don't have time to focus. On the other hand, a comparatively small nation with a certain amount of power and a great deal of focus, it might be far more effective than the amorphous, diverse former Soviet Union. Maybe they couldn't get it to move. It was too big, too many parts. They couldn't put them all together and get them to all work at the same time. But Russia, all by itself, you know, maybe it's more dangerous in its own way.
And part of the Kool-Aid that I wouldn't drink is we keep hearing how bad Russia is. And, you know, to me, that's where a lot of the propaganda is that comes out of the U.S. and telling us what type of, you know, Russia is and their strength and, you know, they're behind everything. I mean, we certainly have seen Russia put Obama in his place how many times? 2 times? 3 times? And certainly they're going to react with, you know, stories and propaganda and so forth. But,
I don't think anybody's been successful at pushing Russia around in the last several years. And I, you know, I always stand to be corrected, but I don't think anybody's had any real success. Russia has its own agenda. It doesn't rule the world, but it's there like a cast iron block of steel sitting in a particular location. Better not kick it, because you're just going to break your toe. That's all that's going to happen. Unless you've got awfully powerful toes. You know, one of the other things about this, though, is that impressions of Putin and impressions of Russia, of the sort that I hold them, I think they're fairly strong. Maybe I'm mistaken. But nevertheless, those impressions are widespread. And Putin is to some degree caught between, if he's been bluffing about how strong Russia is, he is now caught between the Russian reality and the Russian bluff. He's got to do something about this jet. If it turns out, if consensus is that the jet was knocked down by ISIS, he's got to do something. He's got to live up to the illusion. Regardless if it even is, and if he fails to live up to his illusion, it'll be revealed that he's much less. So what I'm trying to illustrate is he has a certain reality. He may have a certain illusion. He wants to maintain that illusion. But can he? I mean, Barack Obama wants to maintain a certain illusion. The United States of America wants to maintain a certain illusion, but can we? A lot of people are being called to kind of put up or shut up. And not just in the arena of war, but in the arena of economics. You get into what's happening with our dollar, what's happening with the interest rates set by the Fed. This, oh, maybe in December, oh, maybe in January, oh, maybe in March, and so on. We're getting to a point where somebody's going to have to put up or shut up. And the public is, I think the public is becoming increasingly aware of the lies and the illusions, increasingly skeptical, perhaps even contemptuous. What's the truth? Whatever it is, just tell us the truth where we can deal with the truth. Would somebody please just give us the truth? Then we can deal with it. It's the illusions that are driving us nuts. So, what's next, Melody?
Do we have enough time? Yeah, we got 4 minutes left on the till we go to break. Pennsylvania's having a little bit of a time with their four-month budget standoff.
Mm-hmm. Associated Press says state-subsidized pre-kindergarten programs are shutting down. Domestic violence shelters are closing their doors. Pennsylvania school districts are begging for more time to pay their bills, all because of a four-month budget stalemate that shows no signs of ending. County governments and local state and local school boards waiting on billions of dollars in state aid are burning through loans and emptying reserves. Some social services organizations are shuttering programs and laying off hundreds of workers who care for the state's most vulnerable populations. There's more to the article, but that's enough. And my point is, we see a domino effect here. The state government is having a budget problem. All right, they can't get two sides to agree, and therefore nobody's doing anything. Money is not going out to the local, the school and county and city governments, districts in the state. And there's a domino effect because the state government isn't generating the money or releasing the money needed to fund these other entities. These lower entities can't function. There's rising unemployment. There's less services for people that are vulnerable. This is just, to me, another illustration of what can't be paid won't be paid. It's another one of those leaves in the breeze. We use that analogy on a regular basis. How many other cities or states, like Illinois, for example, are in similar conditions of financial distress? How long before those dominoes also begin to work with the dominoes out of Pennsylvania and maybe California, and I have no idea how many other states that are in financial stress, before they collectively begin to weigh on the federal government and push the federal government toward a moment when they have to admit, gee, we can't pay all the bills. We're insolvent. We can pay some of them, but we can't pay them all. Technically, if they have to make that admission, they are bankrupt. Technically, I would argue they've been bankrupt throughout most of my life. If they weren't, why do they need to keep borrowing? Talked about this last week. The national debt is just prima facie evidence that the government is broke. The reason they borrow more money is they can't pay their bills unless they borrow money. That means, you know, you can't pay it out of tax revenue. You can't pay it out of savings. You have to borrow more money in order to pay your existing bills. What's that tell us? You're broke. You're broke. All right? This is the sort of thing that is evidence. We have problems. We all do. We have problems where all of a sudden one of the kids needs braces or we have some other emergency and we have to borrow money in order to get us through a difficult time. We go see the banker. We have to borrow money. It doesn't prove we're broke. We just have an emergency we have to deal with. We'll be able to pay this off. That's not what we're dealing with the federal government right now. We have persistently increased the national debt, increased it and increased it dramatically since we went into a pure fiat currency back after 1971. They closed the gold window on foreign held dollars. It had already been closed, gold window closed in this country 33, gold silver window closed by 1968. since then, in the 40-odd years since then, we've gone deeper and deeper into debt, into debt, into debt. Barack Obama has allegedly doubled the national debt, or at least the national debt has nearly doubled while he's been in office. You don't need a PhD in economics to understand this cannot work long term. You can't just keep going deeper and deeper and deeper into debt. Sooner or later, you're going to have to admit, gee, we can't pay our bills. And when you finally make that admission, you have to repudiate some of your debt, or you go to inflation, massive inflation, to get out from under it, to pay off your debt with cheaper dollars. But those are the government's two options. Increasingly, they either have to repudiate existing debt or cause massive inflation. So far, they've been unsuccessful at causing inflation.
We're past the break time, Al.
Well, we are.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be darned. What does that mean, Melody?
Well,
it means Frank gets to play the piano again.
One of those
Frank
times.
Frank is always eager to play the piano. All right, we'll be back in a moment on financial survival. The debt's too big to be paid, and sooner or later we're going to face that fact. When we do, there's going to be trouble. I'm Alfred Addis, here with Melody Cederstrom on financial survival. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. Alfred Addis, Melody Cederstrom, Financial Survival. What's next, Melody?
Oh, you want to talk a little bit about China, maybe, perhaps?
Let's do that. Joe Salente was interviewed just recently, and one of a number of topics, and one of them that he spoke about was China. And he sent out a report entitled Broken China, Global Meltdown. Now, according to Salente, China's debt level, just as they were joining the World's Trade Organization in 2001, was about $2 trillion. Now it's almost $30 trillion. That's a growth of almost $2 trillion per year, all right? China did the same thing the United States did, that Japan did, that Europe is doing. Quantitative easing and Ponzi schemes based on borrowed money, leverage, and speculation. Now, for me, it's a real surprise to learn that China's official debt of $30 trillion is even greater than the U.S. government's official debt of $18, $19 trillion now. For I have assumed, mistakenly, that China had some sort of budget surplus, when what they really had was a trade surplus. We've heard all these stories about China buying gold, all right? It indicated that they had surplus money in their economy, at least to me. We've heard that China was running a trade imbalance that was positive for China and negative for the United States. I assumed that China was coming out ahead on this. Turns out China has actually run up a debt of $30 trillion in the last 15 years. That's not double the official U.S. debt, but it's still considerable, and it's surprising me. I'd assume that while Japan, the United States, European Union were deeply indebted, China, with all its gold and positive trade balance, was the one major country in the world that was not indebted. Based on that assumption, I made a second assumption, that China's vested interests as a creditor were opposed to the vested interests of Japan, United States, the European Union, and other overly indebted nations. I thought that China might have 10,000 tons of gold. A lot of reports ran that way, and I'm not convinced that they don't have something like that, but they've recently claimed that they've only got in excess of 1,000 tons, if I understand correctly. But speculation was that they had accumulated 10,000 tons of gold, evidence of their surplus wealth. And they planned to use that gold to create a new gold-based currency that would sweep the world. Wanted to back their renminbi with gold. And we saw a billboard in Indonesia where they were advertising the renminbi, and they did it with a gold coin. Billboard along the highway, right? China. Well, saying, listen, this is they wanted to be the world's alternative world reserve currency. But, silly me, now I find out that China, like Japan, the United States, and the European Union, is also a major debtor rather than a creditor. In fact, China's debt is so great that it will never be repaid, just like ours. Apparently, China's government and central bankers are just as big a bunch of treasonous whores and self-serving fools as we have in Washington, D.C. The world has no national creditors worth mentioning. Everybody is, or we are virtually all debtors now, and that's not a surprise exactly, because we have a debt-based monetary system. But for me, the implications are enormous. Now I see that all four of the major economies of the world, the United States, European Union, Japan, and China, all four of them are debtors, and all owe more than they are ever likely to be able to repay. That means all four major economies and political powers in the world have a common vested interest in repudiating most or even all of their governmental debts. That means, at least to me, that there is an increased probability that a moment is coming when the four major world economies simultaneously announce a secret agreement to repudiate some or all of their existing debts, reset the global economy where every government starts out debt-free. That moment will probably include a new global monetary system. The new and improved monetary system will probably be debt-based and founded on special drawing rights from the International Monetary Fund. But it could be that in the chaos that follows the repudiation of most government debt, the people of the world will connect the dots and realize that they've been robbed by the current debt-based monetary system based on petrodollars and refuse to accept a newer debt-based monetary system based on special drawing rights. If so, there's a chance, and maybe five, that the global repudiation of government debts will be followed by a new asset-based monetary system that's ultimately built on a foundation of gold and or silver. In any case, I'd bet that when the moment of global government debt repudiation arrives, the price of gold will skyrocket, either because, one, the world's people won't trust another debt-based monetary system, another debt-based currency, and will therefore scramble to preserve whatever wealth they still have by investing it in gold or silver, or two, because a new gold-based currency won't work without raising the price of gold by a factor of at least 25, maybe 50, maybe more. If they come around, if time does come, I know that the system, the New World Order, does not want a gold-based monetary system. But they've got to have some kind of system. And if the public realizes how badly they have been defrauded by a debt-based monetary system, which is what we have right now, and what they have in Europe, and what they have in China, and what they have in Japan, once, if the public realizes how badly they've been defrauded by this debt-based monetary system, they're going to say, heck no, don't give us another debt-based monetary system. And they may not expect, they may not accept special drawing rights from the IMF as a basis for the new and improved debt-based monetary system. And even if the world does get another debt-based monetary system, I'm going to bet that there's a black market among people of brains enough to see what's going on where they say, all right, let's do a little business in gold. I'll give you some gold, you give me that truck. I'll give you some silver, you give me that house. I think there's going to be, however this goes down, it seems to me that we're headed for some sort of a currency problem where we finally have to admit, look, this debt-based monetary system, this doesn't work. It can't continue. We can't solve our problems by going deeper and deeper and deeper into debt. And that's been the government's solution to the problem. We'll just borrow more money. That's all. Very simple. We'll just borrow. How hard can it be? Need more money? Just borrow it. Everybody knows we're good for it. No, they don't. We had an event several years ago where the government held an auction for U.S. bonds and no one was bidding. All right? They expected to just move these bonds at basically at full face value. And the private bidders that were there weren't even paying attention. And it appeared that they would not buy the U.S. government bonds until the price fell significantly. I don't know if it had to fall by a third or not. They never got to that point, but rather than take a chance on creating evidence in the market that private investors were no longer willing to lend money to the United States, the government of the United States, the government shut the auction down and said, that's it, we're not going to auction these bonds today. And after that, the Federal Reserve was called on to start buying the U.S. Treasuries, the majority of U.S. Treasuries, which is what they've done. And much to their chagrin, they are now at a point where I'm not sure that the Federal Reserve can buy any more U.S. bonds. I know the federal government can't sell any more, a significant number of them. They're still selling some, but not a significant number to private investors. Why? People doubt that the debt can be repaid. There's no point in lending money to bankrupt, somebody who's bankrupt. If he can't pay his existing debts, what makes you think he's going to pay any additional debts to you or me? And the world is kind of at that point. And if it turns out that the Federal Reserve can't lend much more money to the United States government, and private investors won't lend much more money to the United States government, particularly at 0% interest rates or near zero, then how do we avoid that moment when government has to say, oh, gee, guess what? I don't have enough money for your entitlement programs. You people on welfare are going to have to go hungry this month. And you guys on schools and school loans or whatever, yeah, you can forget that. We don't have that either. And we're going to have to start pulling our military back from where? Japan, South Korea, Afghanistan, Iraq, because, gee, we're a little bit short this month. We're coming to this moment when we're going to have to admit that the debt-based monetary system doesn't work. And my main point to this little segment here that we're talking about. So it turns out that China, much to my surprise, is as big a debtor as anybody else, maybe bigger. Which means all four major economies, Europe, United States, Japan, China, all of them, four major economies of the world, they are all in enormous debt and in debt, too deep in debt to repay the debt. They have, therefore, a common interest in repudiating that debt. How they're going to do it remains to be seen. But they're going to have to do it, and maybe they can devise a scheme where they can repudiate the debt, and they can do it in a way that they can control. Or maybe one of the four economies, Europe, United States, Japan, China, one of them finally just breaks down and says, I can't pay my debts. And when they do, maybe it starts an avalanche. Maybe one leads to another, leads to another, leads to the fourth. It's hard to say, but this system can't work. You can't treat debts as if they were assets. You can't rely on that. You can't have it as your foundation for your system. They've got to have assets, and then it's real. Without assets, it's an illusion. It's false. It's fictional. So, I don't know. I had thought China would be the one creditor nation who would balance against the rest of the debtors and maybe try to do the right thing. Now I see creditor down. Now, according to these reports we're receiving, if they're $30 trillion in debt, they're not going to do the right thing. They can't do the right thing. They're broke. And Gerald Celente, you know, he warned, he gave us a certain amount of warning in his article. He says, look, China's broke. He does go on. How much time have we got left? 2 minutes. He says, China's greatest fear is citizen revolts. He points out that they have 1.2, maybe 1.3 billion people, and they have 30 to 40,000 incidents, public protests, and strikes against the Chinese government per year. They were, and now they stopped reporting how many they have. That indicates that the number has grown. If the number had fallen, China would, the government would stand up and brag about it. Hey, we used to have 100. That's 100 a day. 100 strikes, anti-government protests per day. We never had anything like that during the Vietnam War. We had protests, we had problems, but it wasn't 100 a day. China's getting 100 a day that they admit to, they were admitting to, and now they won't reveal the number. This is more evidence that China is perhaps a paper tiger. They have demographic problems, they have resource problems, they have pollution problems, and they have economic problems, and now debt problems. How are they going to get out of this? I don't think China, again, and we've sensed this, talked about it on the program over the last couple of years, I think China's overrated. I think they have too many problems, and they are too vulnerable, and you just give them a good shove, and I think they'll fall over. So we had earlier reports on Russia's a second-rate nation. I think Russia will still be standing when China has disintegrated, but we'll watch and see. I want to thank all of you for listening. We're out of time. Melody and I will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night. I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.